a shout, a little over here, and a little over there. It would be shouting. It will be shouting time. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. We're delighted that God has seen fit to bless us to see this day, enjoying a reasonable portion of health and strength. I do hope, pray, and trust that you brought your Bibles to worship today at each service, worship service, that you bring your Bibles so that we can study together with whomever the teacher may be. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you there? For those of you having a Bible, let your neighbor look on with you today. Have mercy on him or her. Revelation chapter 10. Is that what I said? I said Ephesians? No, I said Hebrews. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 10. What verse? Verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. I'll give you a few moments to browse verse 23 and verse 20, 23 to 25. Now, the writer here is talking about that which is very serious also. Look at verse 23, and we'll go down to 25, and you'll see what the other thing is. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. He is faithful that promise. He has given the world his mandate for salvation. And let us consider one another to encourage or to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, I'll give you a chance to browse it, and then I'll read it. We'll read it. Let's read verse 25 together. Do you mind? Let's go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Holy Spirit shares with us in this text that even in the first century, when the apostles were preaching the gospel, the saints, the visitors, whomever, there were some people being negligent and forsaking the assembling. Let us be mindful of the warning, and let us allow the warning to encourage and to inspire us to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Because one day, things are going to change. We're going to be out of this world and to a new world. And in the new world, there is no such thing as dying for anybody. Did you hear that? No such thing as dying for anybody in eternity. Wishing they were dead, there would be a lot of people more dead than those who more deadly sentence than the righteous. Because the righteous are invited to live with God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever in a place called paradise. Bliss, joyful bliss. No such thing as minutes and seconds. Forever. Did you get that? Forever. And you're rejoicing about it. If heaven is where you're spending eternity, And God is giving us the glorious privilege and opportunity to know His will, the wisdom to expect to obey His will, and called out of this world into another world. And when that day comes, we will hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You're in the book of Revelation, aren't you? Unless you flipped it over. If you're still there, chapter 20. If you're still in Revelation, chapter 20. What we're looking at, what we're going to be looking at, starting with verse 12. The end time. The end time. Now in Hebrews, there was some admonition, not forsaking the assembling. Here, judgment day. End time. And I saw, what verse did I give you? Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, doing what? Stand before God so that they are no longer dead. Stand before God. And the books, there's a plural in the word book, and the books were opened. Interesting. And the books were opened. And then there was another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. We have no excuse for being lost because we have the information that will take us to heaven. Again, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. That's the one we're reading out now. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So your book must compare with his book. Watch it again. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. You're going to be judged by what's in your book at the judgment. And your book is going to be compared with God's book as to whether or not you did, I did, what his book said. So all humans will have a book. Everyone that ever becomes a human has a book, and it's kept in glory land. And it's open at the judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man. And they were judged every man. How? Notice the text now. According to their, what's the last word? We just read over there in Hebrews where it says, forsake not the assembling. That's just one thing. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with the saints. Church. God has blessed us to live this long, to hear his word, therefore, to study his word, to know his word, and the wisdom to do his word. So that on this day, you will have no regrets, but you will have eternal rejoicing. And they were judged out every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, what happened to them? A lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Where do you want to be when God calls your name out at the judgment day? You want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let your Bible and worship and studying with the Church of Christ be a decision that you will allow no one to change that doesn't have a heaven to bring you to. Obey only he that has a heaven. One heaven, one earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Are you doing? I have a lesson here. Let me rephrase that. I have another lesson here. Peace, peace. Are you doing the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? Church, it seems to me that countless millions of people disregard the fact that human beings are going to live somewhere forever. God created us to live forever somewhere. Here. And when there's no more here time, eternity. We're to live here time. Die, eternity. Now, where we're going to spend eternity depends upon whether or not we obeyed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take it serious, ladies and gentlemen. Take it serious. Are you doing the will of God? The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 6, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The universe, the sun supports all life on earth. According to scientists, the sun is 45 billion years old, right along with the earth. Mostly hydrogen and helium. The surface of that place up yonder, is they got too many Z's behind him. But they come out to 2,347,000,000,000 miles away from the earth. There are other planets that we have in the universe. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. Some of you and some of us may remember that from our high school days. It is 36 million miles closer. That is Mercury. It orbits the sun in 88 days. Surface temperature is 279,801, we call them degrees. But they mighty hot. And Mercury is the second closest to the sun at 67,237,910 miles, also called the morning and the evening star. You say, well, where is health? I mean, what health? Where is the earth? That's where we live, somewhere on earth. The earth, third planet from the sun. The earth is the only planet known to have life. The earth is the only planet known to have life. Would you believe it? That's where we live. We're part of that life. Praise the Lord. Earth is the only planet known to have life. The average distance from the sun, the average distance of the that particular planet, Mercury, 92 million, or is it trillion? 92,955,820 miles away from the Earth. And it's that hot. It's hot outside. And it's that far from the sun. Why are you sharing this with us? I'm sharing this with us that we will be reminded of the power of the Creator of the universe and us. Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, now referred to as dwarf planets. I want us to realize that when we read the Bible does not contain untruths about this creature or being called God. Did all of that, creating, according to Genesis chapter 1, before there was a human being created on the earth. All of the universe, he didn't ask anybody, because there was nobody for him to ask. As human beings, he did it all himself. Church, since we have that kind of information, and this is all God's doing, it should motivate us to do his will, to have that much power. Just reading about that much power causes human beings to say, And that's about all we can say about what we read about in God's holy book of the Bible. And then say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. On earth, there is all manner of life. Mineral, vegetable, animal, and human life. How did all of this come about? And why? How? Why? God is the creator. God is behind all of this and even more. We can know and do know that he exists, because no human being would be able to do what we can see with our eyes. We're looking at the same sun. So no matter how old you are this morning, whether you're 3 or 103, it's the same sun. It's the same sun your great, 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 great back yonder granddaddy lived back yonder. And it's going to be here until God, who put it there, decides to take it away. God is behind all this and more. We can know and do know that God does exists. We think it's a miracle when a man was shot from the earth and gets to the moon. What about those other trillion miles going to stars? Who put them there? We don't have a ladder that far. We don't have a jet plane that can last that long. They can't put enough fuel on a jet plane to go to the moon. They would die, whoever's in it, before they got there. There must be a great thinker. Since it is surrounded by laws of nature, there must be a great lawgiver. Since it operates with mathematical precision, the earth, the universe, There must be a great mathematician. Since the universe gives us critical combinations, there must be a great chemist somewhere. It is said that Thomas Edison said, the universe is such an engineering feat that there must be a great engineer somewhere. From these conclusions, church, there is no escape. God does exist. God does exist. And he's more powerful than anything or anyone that we have ever heard about or read about. I am come. Well, my notes say this is an irrefutable truth. And who would be foolish enough to argue with you? Oh, no. What proof do you have? It is an irrefutable truth. It behooves each of us, as high as heaven and as deep as hell, to seek after God. Wisdom says, this is not all of it. This is not the end of it. There is no end to our Heavenly Father. There is no end to the home that he's inviting us to. What doth hinder you to be faithful, loyal, committed, and dedicated? Because it is he that promised everlasting life. Now, when I say life, I mean happiness in this case. But humans are going to exist somewhere forever. That's why there's going to be a hell. But by the grace of God, that's also why there's going to be a heaven for those who walk with the Lord. I'm going to get upset with my neighbor. I'm going to get upset with my brother or sister in Christ Jesus. I ain't going there. No. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Do you know what you're doing? Do you realize that you're asking God to send your soul to hell for eternity? Hold to God's unchanging hand. I am come to share with you some pertinent facts from this God-given book called the Bible. The book that tells us about the God who created all of this and even more, including all mineral, vegetable, animal life, and human life, air and water and everything else. Moses wrote in 500 BC in the first chapter of Genesis. Moses used the first 10 verses telling about the mineral, material kingdom. The next 9 verses telling about the vegetable kingdom. And the rest of the chapter telling about the animal kingdom and human beings. We came after the animals. That's because God was going to put us in charge of all of this. Isn't that wonderful? That's how much God loves us. That's how much he trusts us. How can we possibly fail? How can we possibly not be servants of God? Lord, help us. Moses wrote in 1500 B.C., first chapter of Genesis, Moses used the first 10 verses. You may have missed it before. Telling about the mineral, telling about the material kingdom. The next 9 verses telling about the vegetable kingdom. You should remember this since I repeat it. Telling about the animal kingdom. And lastly, Moses talks about humans. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things. Now write that verse down. I didn't complete the verse yet. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. You're looking at it, aren't you? And for thy pleasure, they are and they were created. Wait a minute. Did you get that? You know, when you don't come back to night church and you are not hindered, if you decided you wanted to come back, you could come back, but you decided you wanted to do what you wanted to do. Let me give you that again. 4:11. Thou art worthy, O God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Why? For thou hast created everything. All things. They are and were created. That's who created us. Should that not manifest us to want to honor him? We want to honor our parents. They didn't create us because somebody had to create your parents. But why can't we honor God? Because there wouldn't be no parent for you to be born or for me to be born. Colossians chapter 1, commencing with verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us what? Meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that something? God created all of this, then created us. And God says, we are worthy. We are worthy. Thank God for God. And that should help us as to how we conduct ourselves regarding him, knowing that he is the cause of all of this. Verse 13 in the same chapter. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that good news? Kingdom of his dear Son. We have been delivered. We have been translated. And we also have redemption through his blood. God's Son, Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins by his Son. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, everywhere, visible, invisible. I didn't talk about too much this earlier. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him. You know the rest of it, don't you? All things were created by him and for him. Who does that leave out? None of us. Verse 17 of the same chapter, 13. And he is before all things, and by all things consists, that is, held together. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body. What's that next two verses, two words? The church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might be the boss. He might have the preeminence. Only one church. That's what he says. Started by the apostles, that's what he chose. Guided by the Holy Spirit, that's what he chose. Read in your own Bible, Acts chapter 1 and 2. What are we as human beings to do? Having that kind of confidence. God created this earth, this universe, before he created us. It manifests that he had a lot of confidence in us. He has a lot of love for us. He demonstrated that by what he created. And then after all of that he had created, we disappointed him. He loved us so much that he didn't wipe us out and start a new crop. But he sent his only begotten son, not for a week, not for a few months, but over 3 years, to die for us who disobeyed him. Is that love? That is love. That's beyond human understanding. That he is before all things, and by him all things are consist and held together, and he is the head of the body, the church. His son is the head of the church. We are blessed to be members of his son's church. Aren't we blessed? Isn't it worth whatever he says for us to do? After he and his Father, the Holy Spirit, has done all that they have done for us. This world for us. Everything in it for us. And then we disobey him. He only started one church. Church, I didn't make it. I didn't make it to the end. But I almost made it to the end. Did you understand what we were trying to share with you this morning? Do we understand not just who we are, but what else? Whose we are. Yes, we are of our parents, but we are also of God, who has done more than our parents could ever dare to do. Let us let him know by our actions that we love him, we love him, we love him, for blessing us, for blessing our parents, for blessing us to be born, blessing us to know his word, to have received his word. Bless us, blessing us to continue to live. And church, let us say thank you, living in such a way that he is honored and he is well pleased. And we want him to know that I'm in favor with that place you called heaven. And I want to come and live with you forever. How can I do that? If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and I want to infer with disrespect for heaven, disrespect for God and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Church of Christ is the only church that the chosen men, the first chosen men to carry the message to the world regarding how humans could have a relationship with the Creator. We have a personal relationship. We who have obeyed the gospel. And it cost God. It cost his Son dearly from the human perspective to do what he did. In giving us, he created this for us, this world. But we disobeyed him. Now he's going to destroy the world, but he doesn't want to destroy us. He created us in such a way that we're going to live forever. And he wants us. He wants us so much to come and live with him, his Son and the Holy Spirit, so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Not just to visit. He sent him knowing what he was going to go through for us. And God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. Church, he gave his only begotten Son. He's not asking us to send us. He's not asking us to go and let somebody kill you. God knows everything. He knew that his son would be killed. But he sent him anyway for us. Can we not believe him? Hear his gospel, believe it, receive it, and obey it. Knowing the price that he paid for us to have this privilege, how do you think that we are going to, no. How do you think that you're going to be able to handle with what awaits you if you disobey what God has commanded of human beings? He created us. We didn't always exist. But at some point, he said to his Son and the Holy Spirit, let us make man. Let us make man. This is the results. Us and countless millions of others. He wants us to come and live with him. He sent his Son to come down and suffer for us, that he might give us that privilege and that honor. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Let it show. Let it show. Let it show. By obeying the gospel. How do I do that? For those of you who are still awake. You've heard the gospel. The good news of God. Believe it with all of your heart. Be sorry for the sinful life that you've lived thus far. Acknowledge Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. And then be buried in water baptism for the remission of every sin you've ever committed. When you do that, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. When you come up out of that water, God, number one, he adopts you as his child. Number two, he forgives you all of your past. Ain't that good news? Come on, get on board. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Come forward this morning as a repentant sinner. Acknowledge your faith in Christ Jesus and be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. We're ready. Heaven is ready. When I say heaven, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're ready. And we're ready too. The garments are ready. The water is ready. The baptizer is ready. The only The only thing I don't know is, are you ready to say yes to God? I want to be a Christian. I want to be in the church that your son, died for. And Jesus only died for one church. Now, if you've been reading your Bible, you already know that. He only died for one church. And the apostles established that one church in Acts chapter 2. For the first time on planet Earth through their preaching. Come on to Jesus. You've heard it, believed it, and I believe that I trust. Your God is sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. That's repentance. Now all you need to do is come forward and acknowledge him. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then we will take you into the dressing rooms, male or female. We have a dressing room for each, both. Get you ready and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're already in the body of Christ and you're a sometime member, I'll see you in the morning, but I'll say see you next week. I don't have time, a whole lot of time for you. That's about all I can give you. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. Because God can cut off any human being's life with the flick of a finger. And not even that. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Come now, if you need to come. If you want to come and be added to the family of God, as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Unto Jesus
surrender
all. To Him I freely give.
Come to Jesus.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Amen.
To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I want to read one verse to you, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. We alluded to that earlier. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in their books, according to their works. You're a member of the body. You're already a member of the body of Christ. You have a book. God is keeping a record. God has a record on your activities. If it's right with God, we thank you. God thanks you. If you know that I'm not living according to God's book, what I do is not does not coincide with what He had written, don't put it off. There's no guarantee when God's going to call you off the scene of time. Renew your covenant and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. If you read God's book, your name is not on His book, you're not even on the roster. You haven't been added to His family. The Church of Christ. One church. Do it. Do it. I've said enough to convince the world. It's in your court now, as we say.